Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The concept is centuries old. When a crime is committed, the perpetrator must face justice. For many civilizations, this has meant imprisonment. But the nature of that incarceration still varies widely depending on where the justice is meted out. To some countries, harsh punishment awaits criminals, while other places take a softer approach. Which is right, and what does it mean for our criminal justice landscape? This week's episode is The World's Toughest Prisons.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Well, happy birthday, America. For those of you outside the United States, it is 4th of July week. We are celebrating 250 years of this experiment that for now seems to still be going on. So we hope wherever you are having a lovely week with your family, friends, celebrating safely with, if there are fireworks, do them outside of the city limits because our dogs can't take it. Petal needs her privacy and quiet. But wherever you're at, whatever you're blowing up safely and legally, we hope you are enjoying it. We are taking this week off for a little summer break. So we have a best of for you this Friday. We also have one of our classic Patreon mini-sodes for you as a special treat. But as with many mini-sodes, it's not so many. So we hope that you enjoy us not only discussing something as American as apple pie. I'm sure we will talk about it. But this was recorded in 2024 and things haven't changed much in those 2 years. The U.S. prison population still stands at over 1.8 million people in the United States, closely followed by China at 1.69 million prisoners. Despite representing just about 5% of the global population, the United States accounts for roughly 20 to 25% of the world's total incarcerated population. So what's more American than apple pie, fireworks, and putting people in jail? And we hope that our analysis today will give us some ideas on maybe there's a better way. Maybe we can look to places that have been implementing things in a way that benefits society versus just punishing folks. Punishment is part of it as well. May this be an enlightening discussion. May it help keep you company as you're cooking your hot dogs. You got some glizzies on the grill. Slurp a glizz for 4th of July. We hope you all take care, are very safe, and enjoy the weekend. We will catch you next week. We'll be back with, we're talking about the CIA's investment fund and how it ties into this secret society, as well as kind of who's running the show, and probably, quite frankly, who's running some of these prisons. So as with everything, we humans are all connected, and all these damn topics are all connected too. So enjoy, and we'll be back next week. Well, this is inspired by your Netflix binging, so thank you very much for getting me on this train, the Raphael Row train.
Choo-choo.
You're welcome, everybody. If you haven't seen it yet, go ahead. For many reasons, turn it on.
Yeah.
The main one being our boy, the host, Raphael Row.
R squared.
Who is very qualified to host this show because he himself was wrongfully convicted of a crime in the UK that he spent 12 years. He was sentenced to life without parole. He and two other men were accused of murder, and none of them did it. And DNA 12 years later exonerated all three of them, but 12 years behind bars in some of the world's toughest prisons in the UK are, that'll do a number on you.
Yeah.
And he started working for the BBC and then was asked to host a show. There's a different host for, I think it's just the first season.
Yes.
Yeah. And we didn't, full disclosure, he didn't do it for us like Raphael. No. So we chose not to watch that one.
I watched it with you. Like, I watched the Raphael Rope seasons with you at your house, just some of the episodes. And then I went home one night and it started autoplaying, like, what you haven't seen yet. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And I'm sure he's like perfectly fine. But having seen the unique perspective that a formerly incarcerated individual brings versus the other person was a fine journalist. But it is a bit of an outsider perspective. And prison in general is like such a culture. And the prison that Raphael Rowe was in, I believe, is kind of well known as being a really harsh and tough one in the UK. So having that eye to eye, you automatically gain the respect of the prisoners, but also you have sort of the norms and the social mores and stuff that you need to know to navigate it. And so it's a bit, and the other guy would almost was gawking a bit as an outsider and would like, it's so crazy. They make you take your pants off and they search you. And it's like, yeah, it's a prison. And Raphael Rowe goes through the intake at all these prisons and is kind of like, yeah, it's dehumanizing. That's what it's designed to do, and gives such a different perspective. So I'm not saying don't watch them, but don't watch them. Don't waste your time.
No, that's exactly it. There is a certain prison culture. And what's fascinating about this show, and I think there are six seasons that he hosts, I've watched every single one. I have always found prisons morbidly fascinating. I don't know if morbidly is the right word, but just the ones covered on this show, because none of the ones he goes to, I don't think, are in the U.S. that I've seen. I can't think of any. They're all abroad and run the gamut from just shocked was I, as were you. The one we picked, kind of the worst one, and the one that's known most for its rehabilitation, to show the difference there. But I mean, in some other countries, it is, my jaw is on the floor at how these prisons are run and the conditions that these prisoners live in. And yes, many of them are horrible murderers, rapists. You got everything there, but there is zero to being done to rehabilitate anybody. And the recidivism rate is just so high.
Sky high.
That, I mean, you look at it and you're like, this is just a building to keep people that are the worst of the worst until legally you don't have to keep them anymore. And you just release them back out to do exactly what they were already in there for again.
Right. It's like you don't teach them any self-sufficiency.
No,
or
none at all. In fact, address. You're very harsh to them.
Right, or even have them like address the actual, like the, I won't say reason, but a lot of times, like you see whenever prison, like when we covered Docuary last year, that prison therapy program of like breaking through and having those like the like circle where it's like head on, not only like people who are victims of or who are perpetrators of crime, but then victims of crime and like coming to that human place. And if you're just like literally like, as we will see with the first one we'll talk about, like fighting to survive, there's no room for that. Like you're just trying to survive in the worst conditions possible.
And when you think worst conditions, whatever you're imagining, dial that up to 100. I mean, it's on Netflix. All the seasons, all seven seasons. And I started with the most recent and kind of worked my way back down. But he is quite a trooper to, I mean, for 6 days, Raphael goes and stays at these prisons. And like Heather said, lives exactly like the inmates do. I mean, he goes through the whole check-in process, stripping down, searches, fingerprints. He's assigned to a cell. He has cellmates. I mean, he eats their food. It's not as if he is just visiting and then he gets to go back to a hotel. It does hit different because of his history, because yes, the prisoners respect him more in many ways. Also, and one thing that Heather and I really like about him is he can hold his own. He doesn't let, because he, for 12 years, like, you have to put up this wall and protect yourself. And so now, like, he gets it. And the other guy, like, he's just a journalist. He doesn't, you know what I mean? He could be killed at any second. You're almost worried for him because he didn't know how to handle himself.
Well, it's almost awkward to watch because he's kind of like, like when he's getting intimidated. But I can't remember if it was maybe in Colombia. It was one of the prisons, not either of the ones we talk about today, but one of them when Rafael's in his cell and it's three other guys and they're like literally like in his face. And he's not a huge guy. He's average height. You know, he's probably 5'10 or whatever. And you know, maybe 175. Like, he's not like the Rock in there that could like crush anyone's skull. So you really do have to like navigate the social like hierarchy. And they're like in his face and he's like, okay, we're doing this. And then later on, he's like, I knew I couldn't back down in that moment. And you're like, yeah, because then they know that you are just some like pushover, whatever. And he's like, I did 12 years, mate. And then when people find that out, it's like, oh, you get it. Oh, okay. Yeah. You get it. Yeah. You get it. So,
and also 12 years for something he didn't do, which is a story in and of itself that captivates all the prisoners that he tells. But yeah, he's also such a good conversationalist and interviewer. And he really, and I think again, it's because of his history, he approaches this in a different way. And so the way he speaks to the prisoners and gets information, and he straight up asks them, like, why are you in here? And people are usually very brutally honest, some more than others. But he speaks to them in a way that he's on their level. He doesn't come across as pretentious or anything. And he knows the language and he gets it. So they just are very open with him. And you see this side of prisons that I have never seen in any other prison show. And I've watched many because, like I said, I'm very interested in them. But this one is just by far the most in-depth. And you get a behind the scenes first look at what literally inside the world's toughest prisons are like.
That's what I said. It feels unprecedented watching it, truly. Like, I was like, this, especially the first one we're going to talk about today. I was like, I am kind of concerned for him. Normally, I'm not concerned.
Right?
But that one's so tough. I was like, how is he going to be okay? He ended up, he can navigate it though, but you'll hear.
I wonder.
There's no guardrails there.
No. And like, he's clearly got a cameraman. But they never really, none of the prisoners or anything talk to the cameraman that you see or reference him. I don't know where the cameraman sleeps or anything, but it's just him and a cameraman. And a lot of people don't give a shit that you're like a BBC journalist. They're just like, if you fuck with my stuff, I am gonna kill you. So just letting you know.
Right? It's like the stakes are there. Like, probably he won't get stabbed. Probably. But it always sort of feels like you never know. But everybody so far, because he treats them with such respect, I think they that really decreases the danger. And because he sees them as the human beings that they are, even when he, you know, says afterwards, like, I can't believe I just shook hands with like one of the most prolific serial killers in Europe. Like, I am shaken by that. And I think his vulnerability is a huge testament too. We could talk about how amazing Rafael Rowe is for at least another hour, but we have actual prisons to talk about. But just know he is that good. And if you're from the UK and you know something dirty about him and that he's a horrible person, don't tell me. I don't think I want to know.
I think all the stuff that was wrong about it. I mean, I do think he had some run-ins with crime and stuff in his younger years, which is why he was targeted as the suspect in the murder that he didn't commit. So I don't think he's got a clean slate, but he's definitely rehabilitated. And like, his whole reason for doing this now is to show the importance of rehabilitation. And like he says, like, I think when you come out of prison, you should be a totally different and better person than when you went in. And it's the prison's responsibility and job to help somebody achieve that.
Sinisterhood will be right back. You know those easy pieces you end up wearing on repeat all summer because they're just easy, comfortable, versatile, work for basically any plan you throw at them? That's Quince for you. They make these elevated essentials out of really nice materials, European linen, organic cotton, washable silk, but they skip all that traditional retail markup you would normally pay for stuff like this. We're talking 100% European linen pants, dresses, and tops starting at $32. Soft, easy denim, like this wonderful denim shirt I'm wearing right now.
organic cotton sweaters that are perfect for layering on a cool summer night. Everything is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and that's not by accident. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen entirely, so you're paying for quality, not a brand name. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a go-to for elevated essentials across the home, kitchen, and bedding, too. It's the rare thing where everything feels elevated, but still easy. I love my Quince pieces, from my stretchable, washable silk tank top to this denim shirt that's become my summer staple. I throw it over tank tops. I throw it over t-shirts. I'll put it with a cute summer sundress. It's good if I go inside and it's like air conditioned and I want to cover up. Same with my Quince sweaters. I love how soft they are and how I can still wear them even in the summertime if I know I'm going to go to the theater or something where I want to be dressed up and look nice, but not have to spend a gajillion dollars to do it. Make your summer wardrobe feel easier. Go to quince.com/creepy for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/creepy for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/creepy.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. Beginning in 2018, journalist Raphael Rowe began visiting some of the most extreme prisons in the world. Rowe himself was no stranger to life behind bars. In 1990, he was wrongfully convicted of a murder and a series of aggravated robberies in the UK and sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. Known as the M25-3 in the media, Rowe and his two co-defendants, Michael J. George Davis and Randolph Egbert Johnson, spent a dozen years behind bars before finally being exonerated and freed by an international court. Rowe used his time behind bars to study journalism, and just a year after he was released, he joined the BBC as a reporter for their radio channel. After some on-camera and documentary work, Rowe began visiting some of the most extreme prisons in the world in 2018 as the host of seasons 2 through 7 of Netflix's Inside the World's Toughest Prisons. The prisons in the series run the gamut from rehabilitative to retributive, a balance that is as old as the law itself. Ancient societies that drafted governing laws grappled with how to respond to crime, faced with the question of whether those who transgress society's moral codes should be punished or reformed. The biblical notion of
an eye for an eye
was also codified by the ancient king of Babylonia and later in the Code of Hammurabi, following the notion that the scales of justice must be righted by punishing the criminal whenever laws are broken.
This is a big conversation if you take intro to criminal justice in school or even in criminal law school, criminal law class in 1L of like various, when as a judge, you know this better than anyone, Your Honor, when you're meting out punishment.
Yeah, when I went to judge school, we went over this.
Uh-huh. But you know, but seriously, like when you're listening to all the facts and circumstances, and I always say like, it's why we have grades of crime, right? If you take a life that, you know, premeditated, you lay in wait, you poison them, you wait for it, is way, way different than like, oh my God, I was driving a forklift and I could not see that the piano was going to fall from it on that person. Like, I was doing everything right. You know, those are two different instances, but you can't just say, oh, well, they should, it's both the death penalty, an eye for an eye, you know?
No, it is. We were just talking last night because we've now started binging Murder Mountain, which I believe I've seen, but I'm rewatching it because I don't remember all of it. But in Humboldt County, California, mm-hmm. it is the wild, wild west, and yes. there's not a lot of law enforcement. And so residents and growers there just kind of patrol themselves. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is, well, you've fucked with me, so I'm going to fuck with you. And that's how you like right or wrong is you got to get the person back. That's just the rules that they've made up.
Right. And you see what happens in both in Humboldt County, where the Emerald Triangle, where all the weed is grown and it has been since the 70s, but where there is so many more, I won't say wrongdoers, but sort of outlaws outnumber law enforcement. Mm-hmm. This very first prison, it feels very similar of like, well, yes. what happens when it's like, oh, you're in charge because you have a badge? Okay, well, we outnumber you like 50-1. So no, you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. That has been one of the most eye-opening things of watching this series for me. Called
One of the Most Dangerous Prisons on Earth
by host Raphael Rowe, Tacumbu Prison in Paraguay is home to 4,000 of the country's worst criminals. Because of its geographical location, Paraguay has become one of the largest drug smuggling routes in South America. Drug traffickers make up a large portion of the prison's population, along with murderers, rapists, and other violent offenders. With 35 prison guards for 4,000 prisoners, danger is a constant threat inside the walls of Tacumbu. Indeed, 2 weeks before Rafael's arrival, a deadly riot, fueled by gang rivalry, broke out in the prison. Because the guards are outnumbered a staggering 125-1, they abandoned the prison during riots, leaving prisoners to fight and fend for themselves.
Which is the footage of that riot, because the prisoners have cell phones in there. So there's like live, you know, like selfie cam of like, we're about to go down there and get him. We're going to run a raid on him. And yeah, imagine if you are 125-1, you're just like, well, we'll be back when you all are finished.
No, it's like known. It's not like they just flee. I mean, they've straight up said like, we can't protect y'all if something like this breaks out. And Rafael asks his cellmates in this, like, so if a riot was to break out, would I be expected to help defend our cell block? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. It's the code of the prison. The guards are going to leave. So it's up to us. And he's like, well, where do you, you know, what do we use? He's like, oh, everybody has weapons.
Yeah, everybody's
and
got a knife.
Everyone has a weapon here. Giant butcher knives.
Huge
and they also
knives.
Have access to these things, like in the kitchen. I mean, in most American prisons, to have access to stuff like that, maybe if you work in the prison and you are like screened for that, but just out in a, you're not just wielding a knife in front of guards and they're just looking the other way.
No. And even there, you know, we'll talk about the area with like the pool table. You got a pool cue. There's a ton. Any tool is a weapon if you hold it right. And they've got access to a lot of stuff that can be used as a weapon. But honestly, it sounds like they need it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's worse in there than if they were just out on the street and they already have weapons on the street. So they're going to double up even more inside.
Because you can't escape.
The prison is so overcrowded that a large majority of inmates don't have a cell or even beds. Rather, they must stay in the tinglado, a filthy outdoor area partially covered by a metal roof. Here, prisoners sleep in makeshift tents they've made or directly on the concrete. The tinglado is by far the most dangerous area of the prison. Prisoners openly use and sell drugs, wield knives and other weapons, steal, and fight. Hardly any guards are present, and the ones that are rarely intervene with the illegal activity. This is beyond,
it's like a shanty town.
It really is. It's not, you would expect to see it in the most war-torn country, like out in, you know, how people are living, not in a place where like government officials are supposed to be having some say in how people are treated.
Right. It's you see like where either there's possible investment or when you have, I don't know enough about the whole Paraguayan government and stuff, but when oftentimes you are on a drug trade route, that money sort of tends to infiltrate and it's like, oh, well, you know, we don't really need, we want them to trade drugs in there because it actually, you know, is part of the drug trade. But I think at 125-1, even if the guards were like, don't do that, there's not.
What are you?
Listen.
No, I mean, to work in a prison where you're 1 to 125, it takes a lot of courage. It also takes a lot of wherewithal to be like, I'm not in charge here. And when push comes to shove, I am bailing because there's nothing I can do. I'm just going to get killed, which happens all the time.
And the gangs just run it. I mean, you also are like, oh, I'm working in this gang's block. Well, I guess I'm working with you, fellas. Like, you can't say, well, I'm really more loyal to the other gang. It's just like, I'm here and I am in danger. So you just kind of like do the best you can with what you have.
The conditions of the Tinglado are shocking. Even Rafael, who has visited some of the worst prisons in the world, found it hard to put into words the abhorrent sight, saying,
I've never seen anything like it in any prison anywhere in the world.
Here, the only thing the prison provides for the inmates is a daily meal, which must be collected and eaten out of dirty, discarded plastic containers and bottles. Items such as blankets, beds, toiletries, or additional food must all be purchased. Conditions inside the prison are barely an improvement over the Tinglado. With the majority of the prison controlled by drug gangs, guards have no choice but to let the prisoners govern themselves. This is really common, I've learned from this show, in, you know, poverty-stricken countries where they just don't have the numbers. The guards are like, well, but it, again, even in prison, they have this code of conduct, and the people that are elected as like the leaders of the cell block are very respected, take their jobs very seriously, and are like, if you fuck up or get out of line, like, you're going to get kicked out of here and you're going to go to the Tinglado, because if you can't follow the rules or you can't afford a bed in one of the cell blocks, that's where you got to go.
And it's like they yearn for some type of social order, because at least you're like, I need to know who the authority is, even if it's not the guard.
Yeah. And the ones that do get elected and are kind of in charge have a lot more perks. It's like, if you're the RA in the dorm, you might have the bigger room and get your stuff paid for.
Sinisterhood will be right back. If you've ever tried to get psychiatric care and hit a 6-month wait list, or bounced around between sketchy websites just trying to find someone who takes your insurance, yeah, we know, heard ya. That's why we were so impressed with Talkiatry. It's actual psychiatric care with real doctors that works with your schedule and your insurance. It's not another meditation app. It's real help without the wait. What makes Talkiatry different is that it's not just therapy, it's full psychiatric care. That means you're meeting with a licensed medical provider who can actually diagnose conditions like anxiety, ADHD, insomnia, and more. And they can prescribe medication if that's part of your treatment. It's 100% online, but it still feels personal and thoughtful. You're not rushed and you're not left wondering what's next. And the best part, it works with your insurance. No monthly subscription fees or paying out of pocket for every session. They've got over 800 in-network clinicians, and getting started takes just a few minutes. You fill out a short assessment, get matched with someone who fits your needs, and can book your first appointment in days, not months. Talkiatry has helped over 300,000 people already, and honestly, it just makes the whole process feel doable. Head to talkiatry.com/creepy and complete the short assessment to get matched with an in-network psychiatrist in just a few minutes. That's talkiatry.com/creepy to get matched in minutes.
For prisoners that do not want to risk their lives in the Tinglado, there are a couple alternatives, although they come with a price. With the majority of the prison controlled by drug gangs, Pavilion D is the safest cell block. Funded by the Catholic Church, prisoners must agree to follow nearly 50 rules to be eligible to stay in Pavilion D. Residents of D must attend Mass every Sunday. Weapons, alcohol, and drugs are also not permitted, and can result in a prisoner being kicked out of the cell block, a privilege many are unwilling to risk. D is also one of the cleaner areas of the prison, due to one of the rules stating,
"It is strictly prohibited to urinate, wipe your snot, and defecate on the floor."
That's a rule that I think is just a good rule to have in life.
Just blanket. I think that I would like to stay there, please, where that is not a problem. But that does tell you that that is obviously a problem in other parts of the prison.
Yeah. Now, I think even though I am not Catholic, if it meant I got some sort of safety and, I mean, and it's still like, and cleanliness, I'd go to Mass every Sunday and follow these rules to have an actual bed and a gate that locks at night.
Yeah, right. It's you get any sort of out of that whole, you know, riot town and or just being in a place where people don't defecate on the floor. Yeah, I think I would take communion so much every day.
So many communions. Another condition to being able to stay in Pavilion D is that prisoners must work for at least 4 hours per day. Considered one of the more coveted jobs, prisoners that work in the prison's kitchen earn an hourly wage ranging from $10 to $20 a week. Additionally, these men also receive time off their sentences. Other inmates use the dedicated work time to make their own wares, like traditional Paraguay drinking horns, and then sell them to fellow inmates for money. When Raphael asked his cellmate, Justo, how important money is in order to survive the prison, Justo told him,
"If you don't have money, if you don't have friends, then you're nobody in this life, in this environment, in this place."
Running a small business out of Takumbu is not uncommon. Indeed, there is an entire section of the prison dedicated to inmate-run businesses. Called the Marketplace, this section of the prison looks remarkably different than the rest. Restaurants, pool tables, barbershops, IT services, and even a carpenter are available to the prisoners that can afford them. Here, prisoners can also rent rooms from between $250 to $500 a month.
And this was amazing. They've got like sewing machines and, like I said, pool tables, and it's like a whole operation they got going on. So in that way, they are like becoming, I won't say self-sufficient, but you know, you're able to earn money. The one guy said he bought a home for his family on the outside by like the money that he earned in the prison. So he's like, when I got arrested, I lost everything. But because of this, I've been able to send them money and let, you know, still be able to provide for them. So I think that's valuable to get compensated for your services.
Definitely. Many of them say they make more money in the prison than they do on the outside because there's just more opportunity there. It's a totally different world. It was like in Meow Wolf when you're in one room and then you walk into the other and you're like, holy shit, what's this place? It looks like just a place you might go on the weekend for like, there's bars, TVs, they're showing the game, pool tables, restaurants. It's a totally different world than the rest of the prison. It's still very makeshift and dirty and run down, but it does provide those that can afford it a different type of experience.
Yeah, definitely. And it looks like it would be another reason why you would want to like follow the rules and try to be in that place.
Isn't it interesting, though, that they are paying to stay there? Like in prison, they're paying $500 a month for a room in this area that they, Raphael even says at one point, like he's struck by how the prisoners leave the room and lock the doors with their own key themselves to their room. I mean, it's run entirely different than American prisons.
Yeah. And having that independence where you get what you earn, there might be something to that. I don't know. Cause you might want to work harder so that you can afford to pay that house, you know, or that room.
Yeah. And the guards are also getting a cut.
That's what he said. Yeah. He's like, it's prisoner run, but the guards are aware and they all get a cut of it.
They're getting like a 25% cut of it, which is another incentive for guards potentially to look the other way when they're getting money that might be coming in from illegal stuff somehow.
And you might say, why would you want to be a guard? And it's like, well, because the pay may not be great, but the benefits, aka the money I skim off of the stuff, is great. It's lovely. And you sometimes that's the only thing keeping your family in a house.
True. Or the protection or connections you might make back there. Edgar, the elected inmate who oversees Pavilion D, runs both a laundry service and a restaurant. Even his wife helps out, telling Raphael that their eventual goal is to operate their own food truck once Edgar is released, something Raphael called
rehabilitation by accident for the lucky few.
It is also pretty wild that his wife is up there
as serving plates.
And she specifically comes on visitor day, which happens four times a week, and they're just allowed anywhere and everywhere. And there's so many visitors and so few guards, and there's so many children that people bring to that place. And it makes me real nervous. And I'm just like, that kid turns a corner, and who knows who's standing on the other side of that.
Right. I think we were watching the Manila one as well, where it was similar that the families would bring their young kids to visit. And you pretty much have no other choice, but must be difficult to try to facilitate a visit when you don't have like a visitor room or a private place that you can go or space to go together of like, it is just kind of a big mass of folks. Every 4 days of visitors is a lot of days of visitors.
A lot of different people coming in and out of the prison that can bring you stuff too.
That too.
And they also are allowed anywhere. I mean, they go in the cells. They are having conjugal visits in the cells, you know?
What, are the guards going to tell them no?
No. No, I don't think they can. They sure cannot. In the Tinglado, some prisoners resort to scavenging through the prison's disgusting dumpster trash for sellable items. One prisoner named Esteban regularly sorts through the filth, picking out discarded food, cigarette butts, and plastic bottles to either trade for food or sell for money. Esteban told Rafael that some prisoners are willing to pay 1,000 guarani, or 14 cents, for a small portion of discarded pasta, despite it coming from the prison's trash cans, a true testament to the prison's dire conditions.
And it is hard to watch them kind of like, where it's dangerous. Like, that is like rotten food, like things like that. But that is when you don't have the means or the ability to run a restaurant or run the, you know, you're doing a laundry service or something. It's like you find a way to survive.
And it's shocking. And Rafael's actually like doing an on-camera interview with the cameraman and notices Esteban sorting through this trash because the prison guards wheel in these huge dumpsters and then they take it to this one area in the Tinglado and just dump all of the contents. And then everyone just comes over and starts rummaging through it. I mean, they're not wearing gloves or anything. Mm-hmm. It is prison trash. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. And Rafael's like, hold on a minute. Hey, man, what are you doing here? And he's like, I'm trying to find stuff I can sell for food. And he would pick up like the tiniest bite of a piece of tomato and be like, I can sell this, or like a bag of flour, but it's completely covered in mold, but still, or like, you know, he says sometimes he's found drugs, sometimes he's found money, but the plastic bottles, because that's what they have to collect their food in that they're given each day. They just line up and slop is poured in it, and they're not given bowls or plates or anything. So he goes through and finds all like discarded plastic things that people can use for that and sells them or trades them for food. And that's, like Rafael said, like even in this part of the prison, there is like a currency.
Mm-hmm. And a class system too of like it naturally has evolved and developed on its own. It's not like you have to be the trash picker person, but it's like someone ends up being, you know, having that role and then all the way up into, you know, the elected official that runs, you know, Block D. Mm-hmm. You see these prisons become like a microcosm of their own little societies.
Yeah.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The dangerous conditions of Takumbu are a constant threat to both prisoners and guards alike. Riots and gang violence have taken the lives of many. In one corner of the Tinglado, guards have built a shrine to their fallen colleagues. Deemed the patron saint of the guards, the figurines and paintings of the Virgin of Mercy sit amongst framed pictures of the guards who lost their lives during service. And by lost their lives, it's like one was beheaded.
Yeah, it's vicious.
They are stabbed to death. They are set on fire. It is, it's awful. And they said the guard that's kind of in charge of the Tinglado that's walking him through this is like, we wanted to put it here as a constant reminder to everyone that this can happen, and also to pay tribute. But you're taking your life in your hands if you take a job at this prison.
Truly. And I think that's a, you know, maybe also a reminder of them of like, it's not, your life's not worth it. You know, if the prison, if the prisoners are going to riot, don't try to stop them, because 125-1 are terrible odds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrible.
Prison director Jorge Fernandez told Rafael that they have asked their government for additional funding for guards to help stop the rampant violence and drug use. Jorge also expressed his wishes to build a rehabilitation center for the prisoners, but lamented to Rafael,
The problem is that our justice system believes that they should be in prison and not in rehab.
So this sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jorge
Fernandez. At the same time, this is happening.
Yeah.
A very bizarre other plot line is happening in the prison where one of the country's most esteemed boxers is in prison, I believe on murder charges or drug, might be drug charges.
Yeah.
And the night, like Rafael's like talking to him and he's like, they're boxing and they're sparring. And he's like, well, tomorrow night. And Rafael's like, what's tomorrow night? And he's like, oh, well, for the first time ever in world history, I'm going to be competing for the South American Championship live from prison. He's
from
like,
prison.
What the fuck are you saying to me right now? And they had like the media is there. Politicians.
It's like a legit ring they built yeah. up. Yeah.
It's in like a space like next to the prison, like in, mm-hmm. in just like a warehouse. But the kicker is Jorge, the director, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. for 2 years has funded out of pocket the Panther, which is the boxer's name, mm-hmm. comeback and training yeah. and this fight and everything. And he, when Rafael questions it, like, well, you know, could that money, should that not be used for? He's like, well, you know, Panther is an example to all prisoners here that if you work hard, then you can change your life around.
You're like,
not entirely. If not just if you work hard, you got to have somebody foot in the bill too.
I wanted to be like, Jorge, I think that you have a gambling problem. Like, I think you're betting on this somewhere and that you're obsessed with this. Because it did not seem like – he did say like, oh, it'll be such good like attention. Like, it'll be nice to have positive attention on the prison or whatever. And I'm like, well, you could also have that through like improving conditions and fewer riots. But that seems to be his pet Panther project that he wanted to fund.
Yes. And Panthers was like at the time of the filming, his parole was in like 4 months. So he was going to be getting out, but
not if Jorge had anything to do with it. He's gonna
I
be
think
like,
Jorge,
I have to keep you.
I think he wanted to be the one that like got this. I mean, he's very popular boxer mm-hmm. to like, and have that under his belt. And that's to him, maybe the more exciting, flashy thing to do mm-hmm. than use that money to build an actual rehabilitation center.
He wanted to be the Mickey to his Rocky.
Truly.
It really did seem like he wanted to be.
Better behaved prisoners got to go watch it, which I'm mm-hmm. sure was a cool thing for them. But I bet they'd rather just have not a fear of getting knifed to death every day.
Yeah, I'm sure like aside from being in the stands of a prison boxing match, you would like running water, like clean water.
Yeah.
So, but it's hard to see the conditions and the strata of the social hierarchy there and that they can't leave. You know, it's not like, oh, mm-hmm. well, I don't have to pick this garbage forever. It's like you at least have to do that throughout the end of your term.
Yeah. And really, if you're willing to follow the rules of Pavilion D and you can mm-hmm. get in there, then you can stay there. But the rest of the prison is run by gangs. So mm-hmm. if you get into prison and you're not in one of those gangs, then you're just staying outside. And then if you are in a gang, then that's the cell block you go to. And the gangs run the whole freaking prison. And the guards are just kind of there.
A no-win situation for real.
Yeah. The conditions in Takambu prison are heinous. However, as societies have evolved and repetition of criminal behavior has been studied, new schools of thought have emerged. Rather than harshly punishing the wrongdoer for the duration of their stay, the idea of rehabilitating the transgressor took hold and inspired prisons focused more on individual improvement for the betterment of society. One of the prisons more focused on rehabilitation is Halden Prison in Norway. Located 2 hours southeast of Oslo, the town of Halden is located on the border between Sweden and Norway. A 17th century fortress stands nearby, with wide open green spaces surrounding the area. One thing noticeably absent? Fences. Halden has no razor wire or armed guard towers. While many prisons are surrounded by signs warning drivers not to pick up hitchhikers, Halden has none.
It's pretty. It looks almost like a fairy tale neighborhood, like area that you're headed towards.
Snow and a forest and a big old castle looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than fences, Halden is surrounded by a wall that forms a ring around three complexes of buildings surrounded by a lush green space. Called by the New York Times,
the world's most humane maximum security prison.
Halden boasts an extremely low rate of recidivism, with just 20% of released inmates returning to crime. For comparison, the United States has a current recidivism rate of 70% within 5 years, meaning that within 5 years of their release, 70% of prisoners will have reoffended, according to the U.S. prison population statistics. That's a high amount.
Yeah, it's a high rate, and there's different. I mean, there's a. I'm sure we have very skilled and smart statisticians and folks that are listening, but there's different ways to kind of slice the pie and stuff. And so, obviously, the U.S. has a larger population in general, but the statistics are, regardless, that's still a staggering differentiator. Like that 70% is pretty high. And whether that you say, oh, well, you were in for aggravated assault and then later you go back in for something lesser. But oftentimes it's sort of the same thing because you're not equipped with the things while you're in there. And then when you get out, you're not offered the support that I think other countries offer that sort of help alleviate the temptation to go back to it.
Yeah, it's also very hard for convicted felons to get jobs. So mm-hmm. many just go back to a life of crime because that's all they can do to make money.
Yeah.
When Jessica Binko, an investigative journalist with the New York Times, visited Halden in 2015, she described it as having
modern, cheerful, and well-appointed facilities with a quiet and peaceful atmosphere,
as well as offering a
relative freedom of movement
to those incarcerated. Roe visited in 2018 and explained that while the prison's mission of rehabilitation is noble,
rehabilitating offenders, rehabilitating criminals' mindsets is probably one of the toughest challenges any prison around the world faces.
Very good, Raphael impression, by the way. I wanted to just tell you that up top and I forgot.
It's not my best, but I'm trying to do it.
No,
justice.
It's good. He has the London accent that I like the best.
Yeah, quintessential too. And he sort of mm-hmm. talks in a way that makes me feel intrigued and concerned, but not like he's like laying it on too thick. I feel like
he's in control. I feel like safe with him at the helm, you know?
Really, we just wanted an excuse to talk about Raphael Roe for like an hour. But for real, no, I agree.
A podcast.
Oh, I know. I was like, we got to get him on the air. But I have a scheme to do that. So everybody just cross your fingers that my
Paris?
Scheme works. No, but I think he's right. And I feel like he is honest and vulnerable in these things. And that's a good point of like, you really do have to change a way of thinking and a mindset and like engender positivity in people that otherwise are literally caged, like cannot leave. Yeah. Even if it is a beautiful area, they still can't leave.
Imagine how difficult it is for us to change our mindset. I mean, we go to therapy because we're trying to be better. I mean, and we live in houses have freedom and stuff. And it's still very hard to like mm-hmm. change your mindset, even when you're actively trying to. So someone that's incarcerated, I mean, they're already starting like in the negatives. Mm-hmm. And then if nothing's done, I mean, you got to do like so much extra to reach them and really turn somebody around. The odds are stacked against you. But then I think that just kind of spreads like wildfire, this idea of like, well, they're not rehabilitative. So we're just going to throw our arms up and mm-hmm. there's nothing to do here.
Yeah, just lock them away and forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Not only does the prison focus on rehabilitation, it also has an eye towards reintegration. The facility works with the government to provide housing, a job, and access to a supportive social network upon each incarcerated person's release. In the United States, by contrast, inmates are often faced with diminished rights after leaving their cells. They can be discouraged by public housing authorities from applying for housing. In some cases, former inmates are outright barred from even applying for a place to stay. A 2017 Urban Institute report found that 28% of applicants without a record got a call back for a job, compared to just 15% of those who do have a record.
And then I think access to a supportive social network upon release is vital for a formerly incarcerated person, because you do have to have someone that can help almost like navigate. And that's what like Fearless Dallas, that I'm on the board for, is not particularly for formerly incarcerated people, although that would be a perfect candidate. But it's realizing that those of us who do have a network, you know, the idea of like, you should network. You hear that all in college, grad school, everything. Go network is not just something that everybody can do. Not everybody's mom or dad knows a person who knows a person or whatever. And so having a thing that's for that purpose of like, you have been just chucked out on the street. Like the person that started Fearless was in the foster system, and she was like, yeah, they basically were like, oh, you're 18. Here's a suitcase. Bye. Good luck. And so it's the same that when you're in an institution of any type, there is such a reintegration is such a vital part of that on the way out. And so Halden is very and Norway is very cool for doing. Of course, it's expensive, but it as we'll hear, but it's vital. And I think it makes a difference.
Yeah. These programs in Norway come at a price. The U.S. spends around $31,000 per year per inmate, according to the New York Times, while Halden's cost is over three times that amount, at around $93,000 per person. However, there are much larger rates of incarceration in the U.S. compared to Norway. The states have nearly 10 times the amount of imprisoned individuals, 700 people incarcerated per 100,000 citizens, compared to Norway's low number of 75 per 100,000 citizens.
And that's another thing. 13th is one of the ones we talk about. Also on Netflix, the documentary or the new Jim Crow, Michelle Alexander's book. There's other like huge systemic reasons for like why we incarcerate people. And recently it is there's been an increased focus on American prisons using low or unpaid, like low paid or unpaid prison wages. And like in, I think it was Louisiana, that guy was like, we can't let them out because then we don't have anybody to do this work for free. And it's like, you were saying the quiet part out loud. So there, but you see what happens when you do focus so much on like more bodies in there to do more work versus fewer bodies who genuinely deserve to be there, and then investing more in each of those. It's like, why do you have prisons? Is it like that guy said of like, we need people to pick trash on the side of the highway? And you're like, oh no, that's not the point of prison. It's not to have free labor. It is in America largely. But I think the idea of seeing like, oh, when you invest in these incarcerated individuals, they really do come out better on the other side.
Yeah. I was going to make that point when we were talking about Takambu too, is, and it's not uncommon for a lot of prisons when the prisoners work for the prison to get time off their sentence. And it's essentially free labor. I mean, and it's like, you know, they're repairing stuff around the prison. They're fixing like pipes and stuff. They've got a plumbing background. So now like they're the plumber or they're chopping wood or, I mean, sewing jeans or making shoes to be sold to the outside. So they are getting time off their sentence, but the prison is also getting essentially free labor. They might pay them like $20 a week or something, but I definitely think the benefit works out in the prison's favor as far as who is holding the short end of the financial stick.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Built in 2010 following prison reform measures by the Norwegian government, Halden's punishment is derived from the inmates' inability to leave rather than their harsh treatment. This stark difference from most prisons is noticeable from the moment inmates arrive. Whereas normally a newly incarcerated person would be stripped of their dignity and subjected to the authority of the guards at first contact, Roe found himself disarmed at intake based on the treatment he received, describing it as,
I hesitate to say kindness, but you definitely get respect. And yeah, they normally have him, you know, grabbing his junk and turn around and coughing and squatting and immediately stripping. And they were like, hello, sir. Welcome. It's so nice to see you. And like shake his hand. And he's like, oh, well, this is suddenly strange.
Yeah. You're treated like a person rather than just a number. You know, they see you as a person from the very beginning, which I think sets the tone of like what the prisoner is to expect and kind of how they're going to react too. If you start off feeling like you're immediately like your fight or flight response is up and you're on the edge, then that sets the tone. But if you're like, oh, this seems more like rehab than a prison, like it's just a different vibe.
It's an interesting social pressure too of like, if you come in and are like, get on the ground, you maggot. And it's like, I'm going to fight. This place is terrible. Versus like, oh, welcome. Would you please have a seat? You're like, oh, well, I can't really act like trash. And like, you're like, oh, I don't want to like throw a table because it does like, he said, and he even says in the show, Raphael's like, it disarms you and it almost like scrambles your brain, which he's like, I think it might be effective.
Mm-hmm. The grounds feature lush greenery and large trees, amenities that some critics believe should be taken from the inmates for security concerns. Jan Stroms, the assistant warden, told The Times in 2015 that he has no fear of the inmates running into the wooded area and climbing in the trees, explaining that when new staffers first arrived from other prisons, they were concerned about the wooded area. Jan told The Times,
they were a bit astonished by the trees and the number of them. Shouldn't they be taken away? And what if they climb up, the inmates? As we said, well, if they climb up, then they can sit there until they get tired, and then they'll come down.
Regardless, the walls extend beyond the wooded area, meaning those incarcerated would remain within the prison's control, even if they were able to hide out in the greenery for a time.
Yeah, it's almost like, it's so nice in here, why would they run into the forest? They're like, the food is here, and the couches, like, they wouldn't want to run away.
And I imagine it gets pretty cold. So eventually they would come back. I mean, depending on if you get transferred from another prison that is not like this, I mean, you might, your first instinct might be like, I got to escape. I don't know what's going on here. It seems kind of easy to. But then you're like, oh, it's actually, I'm better off if I go back. I'm going to be better taken care of.
Yeah. And it's almost like people want a sense of normality. And when they are in their routine of like getting up, going to class or going to their job, it feels normal. So you're like, well, I don't want to like risk that and get kicked out of the prison, sent somewhere worse or sent into like a restrictive area.
I was wondering, and I don't know if he's ever addressed it, if like prisoners get transferred to this type of prison because they have shown good behavior at other prisons, or is it just you're in Norway and this is the prison you happen to go to, and it's just a roll of the dice? Like if you get Halden or a prison that is not as rehabilitative?
I believe this is their maximum security prison, and they just aren't as large as the United States. So I don't think that we have a ton of prisons and we have a ton of imprisoned people, because the prison system is for profit here versus strictly a government expense. So I think there it is. This is where you go. Like this is the, if you're the worst offenders, you go to this prison, because to them, it's not like, oh, this is the privileged prison. They're like, this is the most effective prison. So we want the worst people here because we want to either turn them around or, you know, help, you know, rehabilitate them. Cause I don't think they have life in prison out there. I think it's like 21 years is the max.
Yeah. I think you're right. So you can't get transferred from another country to another country's prison. Like that's not how it works, right?
No, it would only be if you're extradited. And here there's a guy that's, I don't think he's, is he from the States? But he committed a crime in Norway. So he ended up in a Norwegian prison. So if you did a crime in America, you're going to be imprisoned in America. If you did a crime in Norway, regardless of where you're from, you get imprisoned in Norway. So, and depends on like immigration laws, notwithstanding, but usually it's wherever you did the crime is where you do the time.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The prison's most restrictive area is Unit A, the home of the most high-risk inmates and where nearly all breaches of prison protocol occur. Even with a population comprised of about 50% violent offenders convicted of murder, assault, or rape, part of what keeps the peace is the prisoner-guard interaction. Rather than watching inmates passively, the guards conduct dynamic security, where they interact with the inmates face-to-face. The system is backed up by a sophisticated video feed that is constantly monitored. This allows the guards to gauge changes in inmate behavior and attitude while maintaining overall supervision of the facility.
And yeah, the guards aren't just like at the door in the hallway. They're just like sitting on the couch talking to him, like, how's it been? How's everything been going? Because they're like, we know if they're normally like, oh, hey, it's great. Let's get a cup of coffee. Or if they're like, everything's fine. It's all normal. They're like, oh, we need to probably watch that one. There's something going on there. He's fixing to go run in the woods or hurt somebody or hurt himself. And that sound, it's extremely effective, it sounds like.
No, and it's bizarre to watch because you're like, these guards are, I mean, just sitting there. I don't even, do they have guns? I can't remember.
I think they have some type of weapon. I'm not sure if it's a like pistol a or like a taser or something on their hip. But they're, I mean, they are in like guard costumes.
They're in their costumes.
They're in their little outfits.
It's very clear who's an inmate and who isn't. But they're all sitting around talking and laughing, very casual, just like they're all equals.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's a big part of it, is the guards treat them more like equals than
like we're humans. We're both
prisons.
Humans.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're both just trying to do our best here. The prison operates under a philosophy called the normality principle, which supposes that treating inmates with kindness and dignity will encourage them to leave as decent, law-abiding human beings. However, Roe commented that,
this feels too normal for me.
When sharing a cup of coffee, standing side by side with one of the prison's murderers serving 17 years in what looked like the shared kitchen of a college dorm.
And yeah, that's, he kind of, you can tell that Raphael is like sort of uneasy at times where he's kind of looking around. He's like, there's just knives everywhere. Like you can, but it, I think because of that guard inmate interaction of like, I think even if one inmate was like, I'm going to stab a guard, because they've created a rapport with the other inmates, I feel like the other inmates would be like, nah, we're going to hold them back. You know, well, plus it's a video feed, so they could, you know, lock it down, run in there and get them. But it's more of that like kind of like strange social pressure of like, really, you're going to ruin this for all of us and like try to attack someone? Just have your coffee and be normal.
Right. They're also afforded a lot of employment opportunities on the prison grounds that get them out of their cells and get them doing like cool stuff. Isn't the one guy making the traditional blankets and stuff with the loom?
And you, yeah, and you can't, like, if you don't want to go to work and you don't want to go to classes, you just get locked in your cell. So most people are like, well, I don't want to just sit in here and do nothing all day. I want to go be useful and learn something.
Except for that one kid.
Oh, yeah.
That was, he broke my heart. The one that's like, he's like, I just sit in my cell and smoke all day. And Raphael's like, you haven't been outside during like the time that you get to go outside? And he's like, no, I don't think I've been out there in years.
Sad.
And Raphael convinces him to go out there. But the reason he's scared to go out there is because of his safety. And it's like, I mean, on one hand, you're like, I get it. Like, you just want to stay in your cell because you know you're safe. But also, it's not healthy for anybody to stare at the same four walls, just chain smoking day in and day out.
No, and I don't think that helps forward the mission of the prison, which is to leave you better than they found you, you know, give give you skills, give you responsibility, and give you like self-worth so that when you go out, you don't want to do, you know, break the law anymore.
Halden offers classes so those incarcerated may leave with skills in areas like cooking, printing, engineering, welding, or automotive repair to better help them secure jobs upon release. That training means inmates, even those convicted of violent offenses, have access to things that would otherwise be prohibited in prison, like knives, ceramics, and glass. In addition to the dorm-like atmosphere, the prison has many amenities, including the prison recording studio and production house, Criminal Records, full of several thousand dollars worth of recording equipment and musical instruments. Roe was particularly taken aback by the recording studio, but one of the inmates explained that even with the amenities,
you cannot get out. You're still locked in. You can have a studio, but you're still in jail. And
I found that poignant.
Yeah. And I did like that Raphael brought up, because he's not just like pro inmate or pro guard or whatever. I feel like he and things like discussing criminal justice reform, it is not a black or white issue. You cannot say it is absolutely this. I think it's a really nuanced thing. And I appreciated that in this situation, he's like, you know, what do the victims' families think about this? Like, isn't there some type of, shouldn't there be some type of punishment? Now, granted, you know, he walks out of Tuckumbu and is like, this should be condemned and shut down. Like, this is horrifying. So I think he always is looking towards like the humanity of it. And like, that's a great question of like, when you do have this dorm-like atmosphere, I don't think that anybody's going to go and commit a crime because they're like, oh, it'll be great. I'll get to go to Halden. Because you can't leave and it's not right. a dream. And does the ends justify the means of like, oh, at the end, you're going to be able to get out and hold a job. But the means you're not really getting like super punished because the punishment's really just that you can't leave.
Yeah. And I think that's a fair question. Like, how would the victim's family feel that like mm-hmm. you're kind of just at college, but like, you forcibly? Can't leave?
Yeah,
you're forcibly at college because, I mean, even the rooms are very modern and clean. Mm-hmm.
They have like common areas, like a couch yeah. with a kitchen.
It looks like a dorm, mm-hmm. honestly. And yeah. I mean, yes, you can't leave. And it is very poignant. The guy's like, yeah, we can have all this stuff, but we're still not free. Like, I can't mm-hmm. walk out the door and go, you know, visit my friends or go mm-hmm. somewhere. And yes, that is true. For some, they would say, is that punishment enough?
Yeah, that's the question.
There is much to learn and consider from studying the world's toughest prisons and how their methods correlate to post-incarceration success. The United States has one of the most consistently high rates of incarceration in the world. Americans make up around 4.6% of the world's total population. But prisons here hold over 20% of all incarcerated people in the world. Perhaps adopting some techniques from countries with lower rates of recidivism could help reduce those numbers. Regardless of the statistics, Russian novelist Dostoevsky's famous quote appears often in literature about criminal justice reform and offers a reflection for us all.
The degree of civilization in a society can be judged by entering its prisons.
So what do we think?
And that's a good point because I think Americans like to toot our own horn and be like, it's the greatest country in the world. Mm-hmm. But genuinely, there are prisons in the United States that are, I think, like human rights violations, truly, oh, yeah. like Angola and Louisiana. There was one in Georgia recently that I think it came out like they're just like, you don't get dental work. So I think the fact that we have, you don't want to maybe make it seem like a, you know, fun weekend getaway. Like right. if you do a crime, I think there should be a measure of punishment. But also like if we have such high recidivism rates, like if you want something you never had, you got to do something you never did. So it's like we can't keep perpetuating the same like for-profit exploitive abusive system and then be like, maybe crime will go down. And it's like, maybe it won't though, because you've been doing the same shit.
But also because American prisons are for-profit, mm-hmm. do they want to rehabilitate?
No.
Because then people don't come back. They don't get their money.
Yeah, exactly. So you see how there's like systemic issues that underlie it. And it's basically like chattel slavery ended. And so then they were like, we really need people to work for free or for cheap. Mm-hmm. And it was like, arrest as many as you can. I mean, and that's just like historically true. So I think the show like this is vital because it causes you to inspect the circumstances around it. And I think it shows there's no perfect answer. They're like, it's all going to be just like, it's been trial and error since the Code of Hammurabi, since then later the Bible, then later. I mean, we've all been trying to figure out how do you mete out justice. And so I think the problem is if you ever like, we got the best country in the world and everything's perfect here. And it's like, it's clearly not. But even in Halden, which is considered like the most perfect prison, is that perfect? Because does that do justice to the families of the people? Or you say families, that would just be murderers, you know, people that have been assaulted or raped mm-hmm. that, you know, I don't want my, you might say, I don't want my rapist out like dropping the hottest mixtape from criminal records. Like, mm-hmm. I want to make sure that those skills are accompanied with some sort of rehabilitation like we saw in that documentary movie, which is escaping me the name that we covered, I think, last year.
I know. It was so good. We'll link it in the show notes.
We'll find it.
I don't remember. We'll find it. It'll be easy to find. But I mean, and one thing that I don't think Halden has gotten right is insisting that the prisoners there participate in therapy and group counseling and work. I don't think you should just be allowed to sit in your cell all day, mm-hmm. regardless of you know, if you want to or not, like, you got to put in some work to to get the rewards back.
Yeah. And but it's like Raphael said, you know, like, trying to change that mindset and to rehabilitate the mindset is like the toughest challenge of any prison. And but the flip side of it, I don't think super, super harsh punishment is going to change a mindset either. You know, like, so it's that, that's just that there's no right answer. It's a hard discussion, but one that I'm glad it's becoming more and more to the forefront. Shows like this, like putting it on display, and then just in the United States, like human rights organizations going in and being like, yes, these are criminals, but we are only as good as how we treat our the worst people in our society. And like, we are letting them, like, we are like torturing people essentially. And so, you know, keeping an eye towards criminal justice reform, but maybe we can learn something from Raphael. Not maybe, we can always learn something from Raphael.
I've already learned many things.
Plenty.
But yeah, I mean, that quote is very true. And it the whole idea of prisons is always, much like juries, it's just so bizarre to me that, like, this is what we all decided to do.
Yeah.
And yet we, and it's just like, yeah, it was decided hundreds of years ago, but we still do it. And it's like, oh, okay. Doesn't seem like it's working, but I guess we'll keep doing it.
Right. It's like, well, what's the next best thing? And I will be fascinated to see as we, because the technology is just coming at us like drinking out of a fire hose now, just like how fast technology is changing, and that that kind of curve that they have of like technology like doubles and then it goes by 10 times, then 1,000, then 100 times, then 1,000 times. So I think in the next, you know, 10 years, we're going to be technologically so different than we are now. What will that look like for prisons? Will it look like, you know, they we have more freedom because you got a, you know, little ankle monitor so we know where you are in the prison all the time, because that's just monitoring that we can do without, we don't need as many humans. And I don't know, maybe you're doing like therapy, like style, like, you know, remote talk therapy or something from your rooms. I don't know, or from your cells.
What did we just say on the bonus content, wasn't it, that we recorded where the robot infiltrated my computer?
Oh, yeah,
where,
in Docuary.
Yeah, that, oh, that's, Factory. Yes, that automation is going to replace so many jobs. And if you've got 125 prisoners to one guard, but you got a robot that can keep everybody in line and also it's can a take RoboCop. A bullet and keep going, then, that may not be, I mean, the answer. That might be where we're headed. RoboCop is where we're headed.
We saw it. The blueprints were there. Why haven't we followed it until
Truly.
Now? That's the answer. It's RoboCop every time.
Well, we encourage you to go check out Inside the World's Toughest Prisons on Netflix. It is quite the just lesson. I mean, it's very eye-opening. It's very, very eye-opening. Yeah. Every single episode. And some are real rough to watch.
Like, there's, certainly.
And it's usually tells you in the title, like, what the prison's kind of known for. So you get a trigger warning up top. But yeah, it's pretty wild. And let us know in the comments when this gets posted, if you've seen it, what you think, and, you know, just sound off. We love to hear all of y'all's opinions.
Yeah, everybody's got such varied experiences. I'm sure we have folks that have worked in prison or have been incarcerated or are statisticians, criminal justice, any of that. We love when y'all chime in. So please, thank you very much for all the times you share your expertise. Don't feel like you have to, but please feel welcome to, because we love it.
Absolutely.
If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content, including mini-sodes like the one you heard today. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content like Judge Christie, where she rules on petty grievances you bring before the court, True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. We just had a recent one come out about the online group 764. It's a domestic terrorism group targeting children with North Texas ties. And we've also been talking about Rex Huerman sentencing, as well as the sheriff in Arkansas, well, the potential future sheriff in Arkansas, who was just his murder charges were dismissed. So check that out over on Patreon. We also have Heather Saves, Am I the Asshole, and all Reddits that require our input. There's a free trial if you are looking to see what we're doing, or you want to just listen to True Crime Headlines and not join for permanently for a long time. You can join for free for a week. You can binge
all of the perks, cancel any time before the trial is over without getting charged. But if you stick around, you get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content. We just had our June live Q&A. You could go watch the replay. We had a blast. We also have weekly audio bonuses, mini-sodes like this one, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet. Make sure you head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. While you're on our website, you can also review the show, submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover, submit your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, and whatever bizarre or hilarious videos you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's still free. We do a discount code so you get 1 month, 50% off if you join. We will not be going live on the 5th because of the holiday, but we will be back on July 12th, so we look forward to seeing y'all there. On our website, you also find fun things like topic-based playlists and information for Crime Wave 2027, so check that out. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, maybe you just want to treat yourself. Book a cameo now, from happy birthdays to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever it is you've done. We will create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. You don't even have to leave your house. To purchase it, go to cameo.com/sinisterhood on the web for the best price. You can find Christy online at Christy M. Wallace on Instagram and at Christy or GTFO on TikTok. I am everywhere on Instagram, TikTok, and Substack at Heather versus the World. As always, the devil rules the airwaves. Keep it creepy.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.